Welcome to Energy Law Roundup, your comprehensive weekly briefing on legal news and developments in the energy industry from Texas and across the country, always in 30 minutes or less. And now, your host for Energy Law Roundup, business litigator and oil and gas trial lawyer, Tom Charlone.
It is the week of August 21st, 2017. Again, my name is Tom Charlone. I'm a litigation partner at Kane Russell, Coleman & Logan, resident in our firm's Houston, Texas office. For a long time now, fights have been brewing across the country between operators of traditional vertical wells and nearby horizontal wells. The typical allegation is that the fracking of the directional horizontal well damages or even destroys the vertical well. In news out of Oklahoma, a federal jury has delivered a verdict that just might be a harbinger of things to come in the many ongoing battles between horizontal and vertical wells. In Oklahoma City, after a two-day trial, a jury came back after only about an hour of deliberation with an award of over $200,000 to the operators of a vertical well in Blaine County. The operator of the vertical well who won the trial was H&S Equipment Inc., and the unfortunate loser was Devon Energy. The lawsuit dates back to 2015, when H&S claimed its almost 40-year-old vertical well had been irreparably harmed by the fracturing activities of Devon's predecessor in interest, Felix Energy, during the drilling of a horizontal well in April 2015. According to the complaint filed against Devon, the operator had horizontally, quote, extended into the plaintiff's well, ruining the well and rendering it incapable of producing oil and gas, end quote. The essential legal theory underpinning the plaintiff's claims was subsurface trespass. More specifically, according to the allegations in the complaint, quote, the entry of Devon's hydraulic fracture fluids into the sources of supply underlying the H&S wells was foreseeable by Felix and proximately caused the destruction of the plaintiff's well, rendering the well incapable of producing oil and gas, end quote. The plaintiff demanded over $75,000 from Devon, citing the energy giant for, quote, financial damage for the loss of the well and the loss of oil and gas reserves, end quote. In my personal view, the fight between a vertical well operator and a horizontal driller can very easily be perceived by the average jury member as a fight between David and Goliath, the old-school, small-time vertical well naturally being the underdog favorite that a lot of folks are secretly rooting for. So, regardless of the strength of a horizontal driller's legal defenses to trespass claims brought by the operator of a nearby vertical well, there is no denying that jury sympathies will often lie squarely with the little guy, which in these kinds of disputes will typically be synonymous with the party who drilled the vertical well. Especially if punitive damages are an available form of relief, oil and gas companies who find themselves ensnared in this kind of case should proceed with caution if they are playing the role of Goliath. ExxonMobil scored a big victory in the Fifth Circuit earlier this month when it convinced the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to overturn a series of fines and safety violations leveled at the oil and gas giant by the United States Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration in connection with an oil spill in Arkansas from 2015. The administration had come to the conclusion that ExxonMobil had run afoul of public safety regulations governing pipelines and specifically integrity management operations when the company determined, ostensibly unreasonably, that a 20-inch pipeline that later ruptured and leaked was not at risk of any failures at its seams. As a result of this spill in Mayflower, Arkansas, several thousand barrels of oil were released. The pipeline administration had slapped Exxon with a long litany of violations, with associated fines totaling nearly $3 million. The Fifth Circuit panel authored a detailed 31-page decision in which the court vacated a majority of the administration's findings and related penalties. The Fifth Circuit began by suggesting that the Pipeline Safety Administration had erred when it engaged in what was essentially an ipso facto analysis. In other words, because the seam in fact ruptured, ExxonMobil must have necessarily not followed integrity assessment regulations when the company determined that the pipeline was not susceptible to ruptures. On its face, the administration's reasoning was deeply flawed, and the Fifth Circuit was quick to call the pipeline regulator out on this. Here's what the majority had to say on this front. Quote, "The fact that the Mayflower release occurred, while regrettable, does not necessarily mean that ExxonMobil failed to abide by the pipeline integrity regulations in considering the appropriate risk factors. If it did, then an operator that experiences a seam-related pipeline leak on its pipeline system could never escape liability under pipeline integrity regulations, and this would nullify the regulations and create a strict liability regime that Congress has not authorized." The Fifth Circuit obviously took a more balanced, realistic approach to the issue than the pipeline regulators had. On this score, the majority observed that, quote, "The unfortunate fact of the matter is that despite adherence to safety guidelines and regulations, oil spills do occur." So kudos to the Fifth Circuit for recognizing that oil and gas companies should not be vilified when they take all necessary and appropriate steps to ensure safety, but when unfortunate accidents nevertheless happen.
Thank you for listening to Energy Law Roundup. If you would like additional information about anything from today's episode, you can contact Tom at 210-446-6999 or by email at tom@charlone.net. New episodes of this podcast are available every week on the web at www.energylawroundup.com, your one-stop source for breaking news and developments in energy law.